Welcome back to Between the Lines. David and Jonathan are ready to continue sharing wisdom and passion for the Bible's hidden meanings. Let's dive back in.
And she called the name of the Lord. We're at verse number 13, chapter 16 in Genesis. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer-lah-hai-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Imagine that. Just what the angel said. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. So he's 86 years old. And we know now from the second installment that men only live up to about 120 years now. So chapter 17, if you're just joining us, this is Dave and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF Radio 97.7. I'm glad you can join us. We're on installment number 3, the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. So Abram's called Abraham now. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. That's all God asks. The covenant which he is giving him, if you keep it, all the land is yours, and your lineage will be as the stars in heaven, uncountable. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man, child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. Okay, here is the first covenant as it is called. Well, this is the beginnings of the first covenant as it is called. It evolves into this massive, massive law. But God says, in so many words, keep your hearts right, follow me, and circumcise your children. That's it. That's not many things at all to follow. He soon realizes the heart thing they can't do. They can't keep their hearts following me. So I'm going to have to make rules and laws. But this is the original covenant. Keep your heart right, follow after me, and circumcise your children. How easy. Mm-hmm. Well, I say that. But just like Paul said, the things that I hate, I do.
Right.
The things that I love, I find myself not doing. The essence of the human being is rebellion. The original sin in the garden, and the only sin in this Bible, disobedience. Sin by any other name is disobedience.
Yes, sir.
Verse 13, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. What does that mean? That means you don't have to be born a Hebrew.
Weird.
You can be brought in. You can be adopted. You can be purchased. circumcise them, and they are part of the family.
And it's right here in the beginning of the book.
Absolutely.
Not just in the New Testament.
Exactly right. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Verse 14. And the uncircumcised man, child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Ah, wow. Wow.
I wonder if he was full of joy or if it was...
I've experienced something similar to this.
Yeah.
You know, you say how you laugh at God, but I got in trouble in high school. And Principal Penn, big fellow, big high school football coach, you come see me in the morning. And I knew what I was going to get.
Yeah.
And I put on 6 pair of underwear. He had this big old paddle, about 4 foot long.
Did he have the holes drilled in?
After he chastised me for a few minutes, I just leaned over the table there. And I had them 6 pair of underwear on, right? Now, I was just going to suffer through this and walk away, right? He come down the first time and I snickered, because it didn't hurt one little bit. And I didn't mean to do that, because I knew that wouldn't be a good thing to do. But when I snickered, those other 5 swats burned through every pair of underwear that I had on. So I'm thinking that's what happened to Abram here. He didn't mean to do it, but
right, it just kind of. Yeah.
I'm 99 years old. just no way.
Yeah.
Still, regardless of why it happened, wasn't a good thing. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful." See right there? "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I know you love him." I didn't sanction any of that.
Yep.
But I know you love him.
Right.
"And I'm going to make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear thee at this set time in the next year." And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God said unto him. I just don't think much work was done that week. But after that, we're just going to lay around and relax.
All the wives were kind of buzzing around a little bit.
There you go. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Okay, now before we go to chapter 18, I want to revisit the evil angel again. There's something there. Every question in life is in this book, the answer. But it's not always in plain black and white. You have to read between the lines. you got to read over and over and over and over and over to understand it. You know, and there's a big question of when does life begin? Is it at the moment of conception? I don't believe so, because the answer is right here in Genesis chapter 16. You know, modern science says 5 weeks into the process, the baby's heart begins to beat. I think it's right there. Mm-hmm. Because we see that Hagar, she's run out into the wilderness. She's running from her mistress, Sarai, because she is conceived and Sarai can't. And she's just recently found out that she's pregnant. So that was at least 4 weeks. Then there's a couple weeks, at least a week of her and Sarai not getting along because of it. She feels better than Sarai now because she's able to conceive and give Abraham a son. So she's run off, and this angel says, I will place this wild man inside you. If life begins at the moment of conception, that would not have been a possibility for him to do at that point. Because the spirit that was assigned to that child would already be there.
The character was already formed. He was describing the character of that spirit.
Exactly. Already. God says, I knew you before I placed you in the womb. At the moment of conception, does he place... And God is such a practical God. You know how many spontaneous abortions there are because the body knows there's something wrong?
Right.
Not because of an evil or this or that. Right. Our genetic lines have been so diluted and so convoluted. Things go wrong,
right.
And the body knows it. It's nature. This one's imperfect. This one needs to go. If life begins at conception, God is wasting his time putting those spirits in there. Oh, you're back. I just put you in.
Yeah.
You got a slot. Put him down in the next slot coming up. Mm-hmm. No. Right here, we're seeing, and you read this passage, verse 16. Chapter 16, Genesis, starting at 10. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed. And then you go to verse 12. A place, you're going to have a wild man inside you. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. That was the essence of the spirit that was placed in that child in her womb at that moment. And it was orchestrated by that angel. So, the question of when life begins is right there, when the heart begins to beat. Christians, don't waste your time beating things that don't need to be beat. You know, yes, abortions are bad. I tell you what, God has it all in his hands, and he's going to take care of all of it. So, there's a question answered.
Yeah.
You go on to chapter 18. Genesis 18, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, always three. That's an amazing number. Mm-hmm. Let us make man in our image. And lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. He knew who they were. And I'm wondering if he says, oh, that one looks just like Melchizedek.
Yeah. Yeah. Why those three guys say it? Are they brothers?
Yeah.
Kind of similar.
And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Please stay here. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, and therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. He invited them to dinner, and they said, absolutely.
And they said.
Absolutely, that's like, correct.
So they spoke in unison.
Said, you know what? You see it's underlined?
You're right.
Single words matter, yep. Buddy.
Yep.
Single
yep.
words.
Yep.
And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah. Every time I read through this Bible, when I first start again, I have trouble saying Sarai because I say Sarah.
Oh, me too.
And by the time I get to the change, I have trouble saying Sarah because I want to say Sarai.
Yep, yep.
And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted and dressed it. So they've slaughtered a little calf, and they got it cooking. Got the grill all fired up. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Imagine that. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, all having dinner with you, or an angel.
Right.
Most likely an angel. God, Jesus, and an angel.
Right.
And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Sarah was well past the age. Menopause, yeah. Being able to have a child. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Even your thoughts are known. God says, what is done in the dark will be brought to the light, and the thoughts of every man will be known. Saying within herself, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? That is absolutely terrifying. There's a whole lot of thoughts that I wish would have never crossed through my mind, because God heard all of them.
Right.
And there will be more.
Right.
And the mind is so contrary to God's will.
Right.
You know? You got the little cartoon with the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. It goes on a daily basis.
In every person on the planet.
Every person on the planet.
Yes, sir.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? Question. This is God saying this to Abraham.
Yeah.
Is anything too hard for me to do?
Do you see the sun, buddy?
But she's old.
Right.
She's like all wrinkly now. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Wow. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. I didn't do it.
Right.
No.
It was not out loud. It was in my head.
And God says, Gabriel, play it back. Big screen pops up in the sky. Oh my gosh, it's me. That's what I was. Yeah. Those are my thoughts. Oh my gosh. So then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not.
Oh God.
For she was afraid, and he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. See the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the men rose up from hence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So he wasn't quite ready for the party to end, so he walked with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing? And you see that capital L right there?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that standing right next to him?
Oh, yeah.
King of kings and God of gods and Lord of lords.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord, capital L, said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And we talked about that earlier.
Right.
The natural inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah weren't like that.
They were wiped out.
They were sacked. These new people that came in and took over.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty people.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And I will go down now and see whether they have done all together according to the cry of it which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. God says, I've heard some really bad stuff. I'm going to go check it out myself.
His own fact checker.
That's right, because I am a righteous God, and I'm not going to throw lightning bolts at people just on hearsay. Yep. You know, I'm going to go personally and check it out. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Ah, oh, the men that were with the Lord. So maybe we got Jesus and two angels.
Right.
Yes. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's got some boldness here.
Yeah.
Pretend there were 50 righteous within the city. Just pretend. Just right. Pretend, Lord. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner. How could someone so holy as you wipe them all out if there's 50 good ones there?
You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. And he's thinking about his nephew the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Lot lives there.
Yep.
I don't know if he's living right or not.
Right.
I got to work this out.
Before God goes
He might be
out.
One who gets a lightning bolt too.
Right.
That be far from thee, shalt not the judge of all the earth do right? He's chastising God.
Mm-hmm.
You're holy and righteous. You can't do this. You're God. You can't do this.
Yep.
And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham says, Whew. Now I got to whittle that down. I got my foot in the door.
That's right.
I got my foot in the door. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Now he's being humble. He was being very bold a second ago.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I'm just dust and ashes, but I got a mind and I got ideas. So let me run this one by you here. Peradventure, which is pretend, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. There's only 45. Maybe I was off on my numbers. Only 45. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Okay? I'm going to go now. And he spoke unto him yet again. Wait. Don't go yet.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute.
And said, Pretend there shall be 40 found there. And he says, I will do it for 40's sake. Now I'm leaving, Abraham. Let me go. Turn loose of my coat.
Just one more. He Columbos him. Yeah. Just one more thing.
And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, please. All right, here. He's brushing his coat back down.
Yeah, just calm down.
And I will speak. Pretend there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, Okay, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. Are you satisfied? I'm leaving now. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord one more time. Pretend there maybe just 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake, Abe. Oh, just let me go. I got work to do. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but once more. I can see God sit there. I done said I'm going to bless him and make him a mighty nation.
I knew.
Otherwise, I'd squat him right here on the floor.
Yeah, because he's like, I knew this conversation was coming. Yeah, I just didn't know how annoyed it would actually be.
Exactly right. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet. But once more, this once, pretend 10, just 10 shall be found there. Of the million, say there's just 10. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went on his way, didn't give him a chance to do it again. Because I think it was heading for, pretend there's just Lot there.
Just one.
And Lot is halfway decent and good.
Yeah, I mean, there's just one there. And his name starts with an L. Lord.
I'm not sure if it's about his wife and his children, but just, Women seem to be expendable back then.
Right.
And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Ah, what an interesting, interesting communication there. A man having the boldness to bicker with God. And on that note, we're going to leave it with you today. This is Dave and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. And what an amazing, entertaining, and enlightening book it is. Here on WVFF 97.7 radio, installment number 3 of Genesis. Please catch installment number 1 and 2, and your eyes will be open. See you next time.
That's all for this week's episode of Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We hope you've enjoyed this journey through the scriptures with David and Jonathan. Join us next time for more enlightening discussions and exploration of the Bible's deeper meanings here on WVFF 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.